at this time, there is no indication of a terrorist attack. Let me repeat that. At this time, there is no indication of a terrorist-involved attack here at the Rainbow Bridge in Western New York.
And if you believe even one word of what Governor Kathy Hochul just said, I have a bridge for sale with a clean title in the borough of Brooklyn, New York.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got a lot of topics that I want to address on this program today. But I want to begin the program by looking at the story that came out the day before Thanksgiving here in the United States this past Wednesday. And I want to give some thoughts that have been going through my mind for a day or two. I will admit that I couldn't address the program on Thanksgiving or on Friday because those programs by necessity had to be pre-recorded. And even this one is recorded a couple of days in advance of Monday, today, when you're hearing the program. And so some information may have come out. Whether the information is true or accurate is still up for debate, at least for me personally. Now, understand that I work from a premise that any time that Kathy Hochul has her lips moving, she is probably misleading you. Whether she's telling you an overt lie, whether she's repeating the, whether she's just parroting the intelligence community's assessment, it's irrelevant. She's a person that has proven to me to be distrustworthy. I start out with the premise you're probably lying. Prove me otherwise. Okay, now I know some of you are probably saying something to the effect of, well Bob, look, you saw the news that broke. Everything's really okay. It's just a freak accident. Nothing to worry about. And I'm still a bit skeptical. I'm sorry to be that way. And I want to just share a few thoughts on why I feel that way. Could this be a freak accident, as they're trying to tell us? Who knows? In putting this program together, I have to do this one for Monday, a day or two in advance. So a few things may have, shall we say, come out by the time you're hearing this program today. But I want you to understand what we do know. Now, according to the Niagara Falls Police Department and a statement by the family, this couple that went to the Rainbow Bridge were heading to Toronto to see a Kiss concert, the group Kiss. And their car is a Bentley Flying Spur. Now, pardon the pun on the word flying. I'm sure that nobody really meant it to be that way. But what we see was a car going, apparently, they say, speeds of excess of 100 miles an hour. And it went airborne and crashed into the booth right there at the border crossing. And I remember those border crossings. I've been across the one at the Peace Bridge and the Rainbow Bridge in my lifetime. It's been a while. But from the pictures, it hasn't changed much. So I'm a little bit skeptical because here's why. Our government for so long has lied about so many things. Why not lie about this? I mean, they lie about pandemics. They lie about a lot of stuff. So they want me to believe them now. They want us to see that video and what happened and say, it's just a freak accident. In other words,
okay, folks, show's over. Nothing to see here. Show's, oh my God, a horrible crash. Hey, everybody, get a load of this flaming wreckage. Come on, crowd around. Crowd around, don't be shy.
Now, please understand, I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm trying to make a point. Why is it that I'm a little bit distrustworthy of what we're being told. There are several things, and I'm going to explain it. You've got this vehicle, and when we're not talking about some junky car with all kind of mechanical issues, this car, and I'm looking at some of the reports that are out there from many sources, this is not a $50,000 car or a $20,000 car. It's not even a $90,000 car. This car is $250,000 a vehicle. The Bentley Flying Spur has an engine that produces 452 horsepower. It can go 0 to 60 in a matter of about 4 seconds. And it's not the kind of a car that you would expect has mechanical failure. So some of the things that have been said, maybe the guy had a health issue, the guy that was driving. And maybe he lost control and his foot stuck on the gas, and then off they went, and it went airborne. Others say maybe the accelerator was stuck. And I have a hard time believing that an accelerator was stuck. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but understanding that the government we have today has a tendency of not telling everybody, the public, everything. When you see even government officials appearing before the United States Congress, they tend to lie, not tell the truth, or just simply not answer the questions. They go off in the weeds. They filibuster whatever they need to do. See, many people in some of these positions feel that they're above you and they're above the law. So you have some of these reports. Now, early reports, somebody said it looked like two men in the car. Well, I don't know. Hard to say when something's going that fast, so I'm not going to put a whole lot into it. There was a dark vapor visible behind the car as it was going airborne, and somebody suggested that meant the driver might be alert and not even impaired, and that he'd been pressing on the brakes. And then, of course, an explosion like that is inevitable. I'm having a problem. I'm having a problem with that, and I'll explain in a moment. Now, there was a spokesperson for the Bentley arm in America of Bentley Motors that said they could not release information about that particular car or the couple's car. This is a 2022 Flying Spur. This thing sold for about, what, $270,000 new just a couple of years ago? Have there been recalls on Bentleys? Yeah, there's been some involving the car's seat belts and airbags and entertainment system. And that's according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Now, there are some other reports out there. And once again, I'm not saying that this did not happen, but I just have a hard time believing this story. Now, there are a lot of media rumors out there, and of course, I can understand why. When we've had a government that doesn't tell the truth, people do speculate, and that can be a dangerous thing as well. We are told that this couple, they're both 53, Kurt and Monica Villani. They're from Grand Island, New York, which is in the general Buffalo area near Lake Erie. Been a long time since I've been in that region. And they were well-liked. They owned a popular family business, which was, you know, Guy Lumber. They were known to be active in local charities. And they were extremely generous and kind. That came from an individual who lived near the couple and was quoted in one of the stories. In other words, the Villanis were not the terrorist type. We really don't know, because in this particular case, the car and both of the occupants were completely incinerated in the crash. Officials said the fire burned so hot that nothing was left but basically part of the engine. And they found no explosive residue in or near the wreckage. That's according to the FBI. Now, that's what the FBI officials in Buffalo said. Do I believe them? I don't know. I would love to be able to believe my FBI. But lately, with many of the things that have come out over the last several years, when you look at the current FBI director, Chris Wray, and let's go back to the kind of nonsense the FBI was doing back in 2020. And even right after the election of Donald Trump, the FBI was trying to undo a presidency. And you had FBI agents that were working to, I think, commit treason. And the fact that they're not in prison serving a life sentence or worse is beyond me. And so the fact that the FBI says something doesn't necessarily give me confidence in what they're saying is true. Now, like I say, with an engine of 540 some odd horsepower, whatever it is, it can go fast. Now, there is a story out there that Bentley recalled some of its European flying spurs over a stuck accelerator. And that, according to the recall notice, a trim piece over a fuse box could sometimes stick out and press onto the accelerator, causing the car to continue to accelerate even when the driver's foot is removed from the accelerator pedal. Now that, I've got a problem with that. The European models are right-hand drive, not left. So the accelerator pedal and that fuse box are probably in different locations. So I'm really not seeing it. There's never been a recall. And these recalls really occurred with older models. And so I doubt if by the time you got to a 2022 model that this would have been a situation. Is it possible the driver experienced a medical emergency and was involuntarily, you know, mashing down on both the accelerator and the brake pedal? I don't know. We may never know, since the only piece of evidence left is the engine block, and it's not saying a word. There isn't any other evidence left. Now, the one thing you can be certain, regardless, with that smoke trail, the family will probably make several million dollars from Bentley in a quiet out-of-court settlement, and nobody admits anything wrong. Was it terrorist or not? Were the doom bloggers right or wrong? Right now, for me, and I hate to be this way, I wish I could tell you with absolute certainty that I believe what the FBI had to say. And there was nothing to see here. Everything was fine. Nothing to worry about. This was not a freak accident. This was not some kind of a terrorist attack. Not even a false flag. They've all walked away from it. Now, I did have a conversation with somebody that I know that spent a lot of time, shall we say, in the covert part of our government and has since been retired for quite a while. And I asked him just point blank the other day, should I be skeptical on this or should I just accept what we're being told? Totally at face value. This beloved couple from Western New York on the way to a Kiss concert, their car gas pedal got stuck and a $270,000 car went airborne, crashed into the booth at a border crossing between the United States and Canada, and the ensuing fire that was so instantaneous just incinerated all of everything, including the two victims. And I'm assuming that they were able to at least identify that it was most probably them. You know, I hate to say, but my mind begins to wonder, was it really them in the car? And if it wasn't them, where are them? You know, do you follow? I don't like to be this way. But my government has lied to me so many times. The FBI has been so distrustful. Strzok and Page. Comey. Comey the clown. You know, I really find people like Comey despicable. They did everything they could to entrap people into committing a crime they would never have committed. And it's just accidental, you know, not remembering something. And now they're going to get you on a process crime because you didn't remember. These scummy people need to be not in government. They actually need to be in prison and sued into bankruptcy. I mean, what Comey did coming after General Flynn, what did he do? Well, he's part of the Trump team. That's all they needed. That's all the sleaze bucket needed was, I don't like Trump, so I'm going to destroy him and his administration. That's treason. And so do you think I want to believe what the FBI has to say? I can't. I simply can't believe them anymore. I wish I could. There are a lot of things that have happened in our government, I believe, in my lifetime and even longer. I'm saying in the 69 years that I've been on this earth, the Kennedy assassination is one of them. Who really did it? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald all by his little lonesome? Or were there more involved? And as the years go by, not that I'm some kind of conspiracy theorist, it's just the evidence becomes overwhelming that people that are connected within our own government may have been part of that assassination. I'm serious, and that's troubling to me. I would hate to think that my government is so distrustworthy that when something like this happens at the border between the state of New York and Canada, that I'm sitting here on the radio talking to you, being just not trusting it. And like my friend told me, he said, you have every reason not to trust. Besides, he said, let's say there was some terrorism involved. Let's just make an assumption. I'm not saying that it was. This could be the freak accident that everybody says it is. And as much as I feel empathy for the couple that lost their lives and the families that are directly affected, that would be, in a way, in a very strange way, good news that it wasn't a terrorist attack. Though I say, you know, you'd feel sadness for the family. We've come to a place where to think that we can't even trust our government on something that simple because of their past just pathetic and just horrible behavior, and they're just out and out lying. But as my guy said, let's assume it was terror just for a second. Do you think that they would want you to know that? Of course not. The Biden administration can't afford something like that happening on their watch. It's bad enough the southern border is a total and unmitigated disaster because you got another clown, another idiot, another jerk running a department. And here's the thing about Mayorkas. He's been there before under Obama, and so he's not that he's incompetent. I think that he's a plant to destroy this nation. And he's in on it. That's why he goes before the Congress and lies and lies and lies and lies some more and then gets all bent out of shape when he's called out. He believes he's entitled to lie because he knows better than you and I. And so let's just make a bold assumption. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that this wasn't a freak accident. But let's just say for a moment that for some reason that It wasn't that. Just follow along with me. Even if it was terror, do you think that the Biden administration would want to admit to it on the day before Thanksgiving under his watch? Right now, the Biden administration is trying to pretend that they've done a great job dealing with Israel and Hamas over in the Middle East and the Gaza Strip. And I don't think they've done a decent job at all. They've done a pretty lousy one, to be quite blunt. But then again, pretty much everything this administration does is a lousy job. And so, as my friend said, even if it was, they would do anything in their power to pretend that it wasn't. And I had a pretty decent security clearance years ago, and I know about things, shall we say, under the surface that the public generally doesn't know, so they don't panic. There's no need to have undue panic. And like he said, do you think that the day before Thanksgiving, with Biden's approval ratings flushing themselves down the toilet on a daily basis, the numbers going down, the media increasingly having a difficult time to prop up this administration, and those that support this administration, those that work in this administration, it's getting increasingly difficult to cover for the clowns. So I don't know. Was this the freakish of all freak accidents that I've ever seen in my lifetime? Or was there something more sinister? And is this story just going to fade away and never be brought back again over the days ahead? That, to me, would even be slightly more telling. And will the media just go along with anything that they're told? There used to be a time, and I can remember that time because I participated in it a half a century ago, where you didn't take everything quite at face value. You did ask some questions to be certain, to get to the depth, and to make sure that it's not some kind of narrative. But for today, well, the media we have today is not the media, oh, trust me, we had way back then. Do yourself a huge favor. Feel free to be a bit of a skeptic on a story of this nature. And if it's coming from MSNBC, CNN, don't buy it. They are a network that has proven themselves to jump in bed with the lying filth of our government to disseminate lies to you and me and everybody else on a global scale. They are, as Rush Limbaugh used to say many, many years ago, they are the state-run media. Well, at least to one ideology, the socialist ideology, the fascist ideology that is permeating much of Washington, D.C., because they, like good little fascists, want to have the same benefits that... Now, remember, Nazi Germany and Italy were fascist countries. I don't care what anybody tells you. They were fascist states. Government controls everything, even though there is private ownership. And the private ownership that does the government's bidding is allowed to become filthy, stinking, rich, and powerful. Sound familiar? Sound like some of the companies here in the United States that benefited during the pandemic? The big box stores, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, all of that, they benefited because they were on board with the fascist government, the fascist state. And so we stayed at home and you had to order your stuff on Amazon. The small businesses were destroyed. The small restaurants were wrecked. Many closed permanently. And even churches took a huge hit. All by design. Don't think that it wasn't. And I'm also thinking about something else. You're speaking when I mentioned Rush Limbaugh. Something else hit me the other day. Rush Limbaugh used to use this line, you know, besides calling the media the drive-by media or the state-run media, when he talked about the abortion movement in the United States and what the Democrat litmus test was to be a politician at a national scale or big state, you had to be pro-abortion. And it got to the point that he made a statement one time, and I heard it, and for a moment I didn't want to think this, but it's true. Abortion is a sacrament in the mind of an extreme leftist or a Democrat to be on the top of the game. It doesn't matter what, you know, Biden claims to be a Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church for, I don't know, decade after decade was making a big noise about pro-life being what God would desire. And of course, I will agree with that because the scripture agrees with that. Yet you get the Biden wing, you get the Kamala Harris, you get the Kathy Hochul, you get the Gavin Newsoms, every United States Democrat senator, they are all pro-abortion. And if you don't believe in that, then you cannot be a part of the inner circle. And so what you had with abortion, it became a sacrament. It is a means of identifying with your pagan god, which in this case happens to be Moloch, the god of infant sacrifice. That demon we call Moloch also went by many other names in Babylonian and ancient cultures, but it's alive and well today in the leftist parties like the Democrat Party. Well, somebody added something else to that. So you have the sacrament of abortion. And somebody said that makes the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, the equivalent of holy water. And you need that holy water to bless you. Think about that for a moment. Satan always tries to co-opt things that are good and destroy them for his own purpose. Looking at the number of people that died allegedly of the coronavirus before the vaccine and after, the numbers are frightening. And it appears to be only the vaccinated that are dying of whatever this is. That, my friend, should make you wonder. And if you think COVID is ever going to go away, you better think again. It all is beginning to start right on schedule. Here we are in November, a year before the election, and I would go back 4 years ago to 2019, and as we got to the end of the year after Thanksgiving, a few little stories popping out of China between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then they faded away briefly, and then they came back up, ramping it up as we got into February. There's now a mysterious pneumonia ripping through Chinese schools, sparking fears among scientists of a COVID repeat. Now, in my opinion, it is a bunch of Adam Schiff. Don't believe it. China lied a lot, even releasing fake and fraudulent videos claiming people were just walking down the street, minding their own business, and then being attacked and mutilated by the coronavirus and falling dead to the ground. And within 3 seconds, a hazmat team was there to scoop up the corpse. We have an election next year with the most unpopular president in my lifetime, probably one of the most unpopular presidents in United States history. And they have to prop that reprobate, dementia-ridden corpse up to get him elected. And they will do anything to keep power. By the way, a little quick story that came out of Georgia last week. You probably didn't notice it. A couple of stories. Yeah, Fulton County admits that there are at least 3,000 duplicated ballots. That was a consent order, which they agreed to. So they can't be held criminally liable. But if it's 3,000, it's probably 30,000 or more. That's what they agreed to. It's appearing that Georgia was stolen. and that Brian Kemp is a bald-faced liar, and the Secretary of State is a disgusting idiot that does not belong running for governor when that comes around in the not-too-distant future. And remember, Brian Kemp will spend the rest of his life after the governorship being an agent for Chinese business in Atlanta. You see where this is going? I've got a guest coming up on the other side of the break I want you to hear. But right now, I want to remind you that the month of November ends this week. Hard to believe we are on the doorstep of December, another year behind us. If you've never supported this radio program before, now would be a great time. We really could use the help. There are two ways to support us. You can go online to our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go, a Christian organization, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Now, we're kind of out of time, so I'll give you the address right after the break and before I welcome my guest to the program. So with that said, let's take a break, and we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Hairy Angel. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. An angelic event. Gabriel appears in a holy place to announce the birth of a baby. But it's not an angelic event only because it was Gabriel, but because of the baby, whose name was Yochanan in Hebrew. We know him as John. John is actually called in Greek, and even in the Hebrew prophecy, is called an angel. In Hebrew, it's malach. In Greek, it's angelos. You see, he was an angel because the word angel means messenger, not your typical angel. You know, we wouldn't think that there are angels who are hairy and scary. Locust eating angels who are blunt and rough, who can offend and shout and convict people of sin and dunk them in the water. An angel who spends most of his life not in glory with harps, but in the barren wilderness. You see, but that's true. God has another kind of angels, unlikely angels. And you see, there are a lot of kinds, and you're to be one of them. If you're born again, you are to be God's unlikely angel. You might be rough, you might be blunt, you might be hairy, you might be scary. Nevertheless, you're to be an angel. That means someone on assignment with a message, with a mission. And it doesn't matter what your circumstance is. It doesn't matter if you're in a wilderness. You know, God's okay. God has angels in the wilderness. John was one of them. Point is not your situation. You're to live as an angel. That means you spend your life on mission, shining the light, waking up each day and saying, I have a mission. I'm on assignment. Lord, help me fulfill my mission today. So live your life as an angel, and your life will be a heavenly one on assignment to spread the good news of the gospel. An angelic one, the life of his unlikely angel. Now, what if you could receive vitamins guaranteed to strengthen your spiritual walk with God? Yeah, it's special, and a 6-month supply for free. Well, you can with Sapphires, your daily spiritual vitamins for a victorious walk with God, and updates on Israel, world events, and prophecy, an incredible mystery of the temple, doors on CD. You'll love it. How do you get this all free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. Just call now. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, you can actually spread salvation around the world for very little through shortwave radio from the Arctic Circle to Israel. It's amazing. It's like sending a billion tracks around the world. That's how you fulfill your calling to be a heavenly angel. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1 and you can be part. You can spread the word. Incredible. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Write to the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's the nice Jewish boy, box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, be an angel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, and Messiah Yeshua Tenu, our salvation.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Monday brand new week. As I mentioned before the break, I would give the mailing address again for the radio program. And that mailing address, if you should decide to support us or need to write us anything, pretty simple. Ancient Word Radio. By the way, if you're making out a check or money order, you use Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. P.O. Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Now, not long ago, a listener friend of this radio program shared with me a group and an organization that I knew about but had forgotten about and thought it would be worth me reaching out to them to share the information about them with you. The organization is called Operation Save America. And so I did a little bit of research, went to their website, and I feel very comfortable in sharing their mission and ministry, that's what it really is, with you. And so I want to welcome to the program Jason Storms. He is the director, the national director of Operation Save America. So, Jason, I welcome you to the program. And so, Jason, let's start with a very easy question and let the listeners of the program know, what is Operation Save America?
Yeah, great question. So we've been around for 35 years. Formerly, the organization Operation Rescue, started by Randall Terry, was a Christian, Christ-centered organization committed to fighting abortion and fighting it biblically. And, you know, the axiom of that day was, if we believe as Christians that abortion is murder, that preborn children are human beings being killed, then let's act like it. And so they engaged in what was the largest peaceful civil disobedience movement in the history of the nation, the rescue movement, and thousands of Christians peacefully interposed and sat down and blockaded the doors of abortion clinics. And across the country was a national movement, of course, national headlines, and we're shutting down abortion clinics across the country and really creating a tremendous amount of social tension and bringing awareness to the humanity of the preborn and the duty of the church to confront that, as they were also, of course, showing the imagery and videos of what abortion is, and bringing the humanity of preborn children to the fore of the American conscience. And so it was a powerful movement. And fortunately, in 1992, after quite a few years of building momentum, you know, Bill Clinton was elected to office.
I remember.
Put a stop to that through the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinics and Church Entrances, and made it a federal felony to do what previously had been a simple trespassing ticket. So even now, that is still in effect, and the Biden administration has weaponized that, as there are Christians in prison right now for peacefully sitting down inside of an abortion clinic. You could do that at any other business, and you're going to get a $150 ticket. You do it in an abortion clinic, you're going to federal prison.
I know, I want to talk about that in just a moment. When you were saying all this, my mind was harping back to literally like the late 80s, early 90s, and Randall Terry's work. I was working at a Christian college and radio station at the time, and I followed it as best as we could in those days. This is pre-internet, of course, but right. We were very much aware of the work, and you're right. November of 1992, Americans got duped. And because of Ross Perot splitting the vote, Clinton became elected for 2 terms. And it was early in that administration that FACE Act was, which to me, I still cannot believe that it is constitutional, because that is not equal protection under the law to give something more protection than the other. I'm reminded of Animal Farm. Some animals are more equal than others.
Right,
this is
right.
Kind of what it sounds like to me, and always did.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully that is repealed soon. There's some cases working their way up now. We have some friends that are going to be having a trial in the Nashville area in January for these kinds of activities. And the hope is to challenge the FACE law. Now that Roe's been overturned, thank God, and the court has repented of that great evil, there's no longer a federal right to an abortion. And so the FACE Act was, of course, predicated upon the idea that there was a federal right to an abortion. So it's hard to see how they can justify that ongoing tyranny now that it's not even a recognized federal law. So,
well, to me, what
pray for that case.
What burns me is I think of those individuals that have the FBI come out like you are a wanted bank robber in the wee hours of the morning with their long guns out to arrest somebody that protested or got into somebody's face, so to speak, over an abortion clinic. This is what the very, I call it, very morally bankrupt Biden administration has been pushing. You have a reprobate Department of Injustice now, and this is what is important to them. And I don't know if you would agree with my stance. I consider abortion recycled paganism, because we are nothing. 100%. We are invoking the spirit of Moloch.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's a reason why many of the abortion workers, even doctors, many of them are very involved in the occult. You know, I mean, it is a literal child sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've become a post-Christian, increasingly post-Christian society and secularized as a nation, we've not ushered in a secular utopia, but rather we've gone back to our ancient pagan ways. And, it's not a surprise either that we see the sexualization of children, gross sexual perversion becoming increasingly rampant, suicide, mass murders and drug addiction and all these things flooding our society as we've abandoned the spiritual foundation, which was Christianity and Christ. So Operation Save America, we began to make the move in the early 90s under the leadership of Flip Benham, took over after Randall Terry to Operation Save America. And we began to focus more, I would say, on the broader spiritual foundations of society. And still, of course, focused on abortion, but recognizing the soil from which it came is godlessness. You know, it's the spirit of
Antichrist. Absolutely, the spirit of Antichrist. We know from Scripture has been with us since the beginning. It is here. It is here, and I think the church has been negligent in understanding that, or at least we know the true church could care less, because they have embraced the spirit of Antichrist in many so-called formerly biblical denominations have walked away entirely, and they now 100%. Are pro-abortion. They're now pro-child mutilation. All of it is acceptable, and so yep. they're preaching another gospel. So talk about some of the areas that Operation Save America works.
So we're trying to get back to the foundations, which is to rebuild the spiritual foundations. We're gospel centered. The pro-life movement sadly has not been been gospel centered at all. Unfortunately, the pro-life movement, sort of like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, we've seen the pro-life movement sort of all over the map. If you look at what just happened in Ohio, a huge defeat. We were on the ground in Ohio fighting that constitutional amendment there. And, the pro-life, the big pro-life organizations with the big money, sadly, are an extension of the GOP political establishment, the rhinos. And so they drop a lot of money. And so they divert the battlefront away from principle. What we've been trying to do is call the pro-life movement back to sound principles. And so, it's the old saying, but Patricia Ireland said this, the former head of the National Organization of Women, she said this in the 90s. She said, if the debate is about the baby, if they center it around the baby, we lose. But she said, if we can center it around the woman, we win. Mm-hmm. And that's been the pro-abortion playbook. And now we have pro-life organizations, by and large, that have fallen into the same tactic. you know, the battle in Ohio, you look at the pro-life messaging, the pro-life organizations that didn't want to make it about abortion. They didn't want to make it about babies and about the value of these little babies and the humanity of these babies made in the image of God. They wanted to make it, they made it about, you know, late term abortion was one talking point. Abortion is bad for women. This was a major talking point. Abortion is bad for women. And so they didn't mobilize the pro-life voting base. They didn't mobilize our people. They convoluted the message. And, you know, it was sort of weak and cowardly. Say, and if that's the blueprint that's followed, we're going to lose every one of these state constitutional amendments, even in southern Bible Belt states. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to wake up to the realization that there is the Republican political establishment is not our friends. And, you know, I think Trump made that, you know, explicitly clear in his administration, the draining of the swamp. The swamp is the uniparty of Republican and Democrat leadership.
Absolutely.
I've been bought and paid for.
I've made this so clear to my audience for so long that these party labels are increasingly getting obscured in terms of what they do. I know many politicians. I've known them for years. And so many do a wonderful job of talking the talk. But when they get to D.C., they no longer walk the walk until it's re-election time. And I can think of a number that talk a great game, and then if they're a senator, we don't hear from them for like 5 years. And then they begin to raise money to run again, and they talk a good game, and they're back. And after three or four terms, you know, they're in there 28 years, and all the stuff they promised to do is just left undone.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was sickening. You know, you look at Donald Trump's first 2 years in office, 2016, Republicans swept all three branches of the federal government. And so, you know, we had Paul Ryan. He's up in my neck of the woods. We're up in the Milwaukee area. And, you know, he was the golden boy, Mr. Pro-Life, homeschool father of six. And once he got into the position of Speaker of the House, you know, he became a part of that swamp. And Republicans had a majority in Congress. They had the presidency. They even had a majority in the Supreme Court. And they had majorities in 32 state governments. So think about that. Republicans control 32 state governments and all three branches of the federal government, 2016 to 2018. And what did they accomplish? Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood still received a $500 million check from the federal government each of those years.
That's right.
Hundreds of thousands of babies were continued to be killed. The LGBT agenda continued to advance. Our school systems continued to deteriorate. The media continued to flood, you know, the airwaves with lies and corruption. And so, you know, what did these guys do? And so some of it is because they're just bought and paid for. Some of it is because they're just cowards. And some of the good guys in there, they just don't have the backbone to stand up and fight. And so we need a generation of Christian leaders, particularly in the pulpit. You know, I looked at the pulpit. The pulpit sets the tone for the nation. And when you have effeminate, weak men in the pulpits who are lacking backbone, and who, you know, really are lacking love. At the end of the day, they have a false love. They don't love God and they don't love their neighbor. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear, right? And so if you love these little babies that have been killed, you love those who are being corrupted by this sin, you love those little ones who are being seduced by these immoralities, you love this nation and this people who's having our constitutional rights trampled upon, then you have to stand up and you have to speak regardless of the cost. And we need a bold generation of leaders in the pulpit who are willing to do that. And so that's what Operation Save America is really about, is waking up the church, mobilizing the church to stand and to speak, you know, boldly and engage the culture biblically. And that's what's needed.
I am convinced that we are living in a very apostate age with many, if not sadly, most of the churches in the United States and Canada. There's no doubt in my mind. It was not that many months ago that I was looking at a story, and this included, in this case, a woman, ELCA Lutheran pastor, along with a woman priestess from an Episcopal church, and they were wearing their rainbow stoles and blessing an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Because they come out and they have the audacity to just spew the heresy that this is what God desires, more of this, more abortions. And they're living the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 delusion in doing this. They are believing the lie, and they're preaching the lie, and they're leading their flocks astray. we have apostate churches that no longer are Christian. They may have stained glass windows and even pipe organs, but they're not Christian at all.
No.
And even some conservative churches, as you said before, you're right. They back down on the hard issues because they're afraid of their tax exempt status being revoked or getting people upset and losing a few people from the pews that put in an offering or running afoul of maybe the local community in which they live. And God's going to hold them accountable for standing up for righteousness and preaching a pure gospel, not a warped one, not a changed one, not an altered one, and not an abandoned one. So what are you doing to help empower the local church?
Great question. So we do conferences around the nation, and we believe very much in getting sort of boots on the ground, coming in, serving the local churches. We have a national conference every summer in different cities, and we do regional events, different locations. We also do men's boot camps, men's conferences, come in and work with local churches and helping to build up and strengthen healthy understanding and application of biblical masculinity, what that looks like, sort of fleshed out in all spheres of life, from the home to, you know, raising up men who are good husbands, good fathers, who love their wives, love their children, protect them, nurture and educate them, and disciple them, and also those who are working in business and financial world, applying biblical principles to the business world, and bringing the gospel and Christian truth into the economic affairs of the nation, which really should flow out of the local church and flow out of the family, right? And so then, you know, of course, the political arena and teaching Christians how to engage their local community. I tell and talk to pastors all the time, and I say, look, you have no idea how influential you are as a pastor in your local community. You need to know who your local elected officials are. And even more importantly, your local elected officials need to know who you are. The influence of a pastor in terms of city government, mm-hmm. county government, you know, is tremendous. And I talk to legislators all the time, city councilmen, either mayors, say we never hear from pastors. We never hear from the churches.
Because they're afraid. Sadly, are afraid. They're afraid that something's going to go negative. They're going to get bad publicity. The newspaper's going to notice it, and they want to just hide in their building, and do their thing unabated, and hope that no one bothers them.
Right. And so the good thing is, you know, a small minority, as we've seen from the left, a small minority can change things. Mm-hmm. We don't need huge numbers. You know, so one church in a local community can really have a tremendous influence on the political climate of that community.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, a lot of what we've been preaching is getting back to local politics, local government, you know, and that means building and centering our lives, both our economic, our educational, and our political lives around the family and the church. You know, what's been orchestrated in the last 100 years has been this great social reengineering of our nation where mm-hmm. we've all been taught to be, you know, we've all been educated in this government education system that's been sort of foisted upon the nation. You know, most of our founding fathers didn't go to a government school. They were either homeschooled. Of course, we had the small one-room schoolhouse, but most Americans by 12, 13, 14 years old were integrating into the adult world, entering the workforce, working in farms, self-sufficiency, independent thinking, and it was all centered around the local church and the local family. That was the engine of the economy. And it's all been re-engineered through the government education system to sort of make everybody dependent on both big government bureaucracy and big corporations, right? And increasingly, they're one and the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you vote for the Democrats, you get big government. You vote for the Republicans, you get big corporations. And increasingly, they're one and the same. And so, you know, the average American man today, if you ask where his security is found or what his career plan is, and you talk to your average teenager going to a church, what's your plan? You know, they feel like they've got to go to school and go to college and then get a job for a corporation where they can hopefully have health insurance and a 401k and a retirement plan and Social Security to take care of them.
Let me ask this question real quick. Before we run out of time, is there any particular topic that we have missed? And then how do people learn more about your organization and how to reach out to you. So kind of anything we missed and how to make connection with Operation Save America.
Yeah, I'll say go to operationsaveamerica.org, get on our website and get on our email list, sign up for our email list and keep up to date with the events that we're putting together. And, you know, reach out to us, communicate with us. And, you know, we do events all over the country. We have a network of affiliates all over the country who are on the ground, working in local communities, building coalitions, and getting the church mobilized to engage these issues to think biblically. So it starts in the home, starts with the family, rebuilding the foundation of the family, and then rebuilding strong, healthy churches from there that then can go out and build a healthy community that is resilient to the wickedness that we see spreading across the nation. So go to operationsaveamerica.org and get connected.
My guest on the program today has been Jason Storms of Operation Save America. And Jason, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. And I would encourage the listeners to this program that have internet access and use it to go to operationsaveamerica.org, operationsaveamerica.org, to find out more. A couple of things that I want to quickly share before the program comes to an end today. There are a number of things going on in the background. I'll share maybe a little bit more tomorrow and Thursday. I'm working on a project that will be a Roku TV channel, eventually even an Apple TV channel, and also for the Fire, Amazon Fire. Now, I know that using big tech platforms can be risky because someday they can pull the plug. But while we are able, while we have time, while the opportunity is still there, why not? Why not use what is out there to reach others? Now, it's not going to be just programs that I do. I have other people that I know that can produce both audio and video programs that would be available on this channel. So keep that in prayer. It's something I'm working on independent of the radio program, though the radio program would be a beneficiary. As far as being a radio program, we are on the air only because you care. On the air because you care. Because while my time for this ministry and other things are free, the airtime is not. And that's the only reason I ever come to you asking for your support. We have decided not to sell goods and gold and silver. We're not selling prep food and solar generators here. We don't do that. I just don't feel that is what I am called to do. And I'm a little bit skeptical about some that do that. In addition, we don't have a paywall here either. In other words, this radio program and podcast, and yes, even when we launch the Roku channel, it will be free. But would you consider helping us? You can go to our website, truth2ponder.com, to support us. We have a way to support us using Give, Send, Go, a marvelous Christian organization. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, that's how you make out the check. P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. And we'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.